How are y'all doing this morning? Good, good, good. I'm glad you're doing good, Dave. Super Dave. Excited about that. I'm Rocky Johnson. Welcome to Grace Fellowship. Okay, if you're whether you're online or you're here, we appreciate you being here. And here's the deal. My name's Rocky. I'm one of the executive pastors, and I'm kind of focused on groups and all that fun stuff. And I have the chance today to kind of challenge you and speak to you about a couple of things. And let me just, one of the things I like to do is kind of tell you a little bit about myself. And one of the things about me is I like to watch people. All right. And this is like the best time of watching people time, isn't it? Because you start going Christmas shopping and at the pumpkin patch and stuff like that. And I love to just go. I don't like to go shopping, but I go with my wife and we'll go shopping. And I love to just sit there and watch people. And by the way, when you're watching people, it's not good to stare long because they tend to look at that as creepy. Okay. Just letting you know. But I just like to watch people, and I like to try to figure out this all the differences, and all the people are so different and everything. One of the things I love to look at people and say, okay, I wonder if they're a risk taker. I wonder if they are one of those kind of people that take risks, or if they're kind of one of those people that kind of avoid them like the plague. And you know those type of people, the ones that just want to do anything, and you challenge them, they're going to do it. And they want, if it's a thrill, they'll do it. And you got other ones like, I'm not sure if I want to do that, because that may be against law in some form or fashion, or I may get hurt or something like that. But we got those different types of people, and I have a bucket list, okay? Put it together about 3 years ago, and one of the things on that bucket list is skydiving. And so about 3 weeks ago, I said, okay, it's time to do it, all right? And so I decided to go to skydiving, went to a place over in Rome, Newark area, and went over there, and my idea was I was going to do this tandem thing. And if you don't know what tandem is, tandem is whenever you're attached to another person, and basically you're just along for the ride and they do all the work, okay? They pull the string and all that fun stuff. And so I got there, and for some reason, the parachute's made for two people, and they said, I equal two people already. And so I couldn't add a third person onto that thing, so I had to do it by myself, which was very nerve-wracking. Okay, so we go through this little class deal, and then they get us in the, they take us to this plane, and we got our parachutes on, and they've checked everything. And we get up on the, and I'm just like, my knees are just knocking like crazy, all right? And I get up on in this plane, they get to about 12,000 feet, and they said, okay, we're gonna open the door, get ready, and you move forward. And I am not kidding you, my heart was racing 900 miles an hour. And they said, okay, we're gonna, on the count of three, we want you to jump out. And I got right up to that window, and they said, one, two, are you kidding me? I would never do that. Y'all are thinking, what are you, there's no way. No, the riskiest thing I've ever done in my life is put together a bucket list. Plain and simple. It's a list of things, and I'm not doing any of them because they all scare me to death. I'm not going to take a risk. I'm not like that. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I had a lady come up to me after the first service and said, and she's on for her 73rd birthday. Her husband got her a that's what she wants to do is go skydiving on her 73rd birthday. And I'm just feeling really bad, but I'm still not going to do it. I'm not going to take that risk. But you know what? If you want to be truly honest, we all take risks to some form or fashion. All right? If you've ever ridden a roller coaster and you sat down on that roller and they pulled that bar over you, at that point, you're all in. It doesn't matter. You're there. Okay? It's a risk. If you've ever changed jobs or you changed careers, you made that decision and you quit that job and you could go, it's a risk. If you've ever asked somebody out on a date, that's a risk. When my wife asked me to marry her, that was a risk she took. I mean, I said yes, but it was a risk. And we do that all the time. We do these risks, but sometimes we think these are small risk and big risk. And the deal is this, risks are going to cost you something. Risks are going to cost you something. And so this morning, what I'd like for us to do is kind of talk about risk. But I want to start by this, I want to ask you this question. When was the last time that you took a risk in your Christian life? When was the last time that you truly took a risk in your spiritual journey? Because we think about, sometimes we kind of separate and we think our spiritual life is here, and what the spiritual life is for all being comfortable and cozy and all that fun stuff, and we don't think about the risk element that God may want us to take in our Christian life. So the question is, when did you do that? When did you take a spiritual risk? I love the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is just packed full of great stories of biblical characters. And the cool thing about them is they're a lot like us, okay? They made bad choices. They made stupid choices. They made those kind of choices. They dealt with the consequences. But every now and then, they would take a God-sized risk and God would just do some amazing things. And I was thinking about, okay, who are some of these characters? And I just started going down this list, but one of my favorites, Noah. And I don't know if you know the story of Noah, but Noah was living in a time when God had created man and all this fun stuff. And in the process of all that, man had kind of completely taken God out of the picture. They turned their back. We had turned our back on God. And he said, you know what? I'm done. Okay? I've given them time and time again. I've given them chances. And they're just not doing it. So I'm done. So he said, okay, I'm going to start over. And he found Noah. And he said, Noah's righteous. So I'm going to start with Noah. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to flood the earth. And so he came to Noah and he told Noah, he said, okay, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build a boat. Not just any boat, but I want you to build this huge boat. And this boat is going to be big enough to house your entire family as well as two of every animal on the planet. And that's what he told Noah to do. And I'm thinking, that's kind of a risk for Noah, isn't it? That's kind of crazy. But look at this and see what did Noah do? Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Noah didn't have a discussion with God. He didn't say, okay, God, explain to this me again. What are you doing? It hadn't even rained, and he's thinking, okay, so you want me to build a boat big enough in the middle of nowhere? And he didn't have that conversation. He did what God asked him to do. He took a risk. And guys, that risk cost him something. That risk cost him something. And if you're getting ready, if you're ever at a point where you're going to take a risk, it's going to cost you something. And for Noah, it cost him three things. And the first thing it cost him was it cost him financially. That was a little different back then. I mean, he didn't go down to the lumber yard and say, okay, I need 4 billion 2x4s, okay? He cut it himself, but it cost him resources. He had to go and get this lumber and put this together and start building this boat. It cost him resources. It also cost him time, which is one of the biggest challenges for us, because time is the biggest commodity right now for most of us. It's not money, it's time. Do we have enough time to do this? And think about this for just a second. It took Noah 120 years to build this boat. We're not talking about for a couple hours on weekends when he had some spare time, he decided to build the boat. This was his life. For 120 years, this guy built a boat. So it cost him time, but it also cost him his reputation. Think about that for just a second. Here's Noah and his family in their middle of nowhere, and they're building a boat. Just think about what people are saying. People are just, I guarantee you, I'd be one of those guys off to the side drinking some sweet tea laughing at him. But people were laughing when his kids were getting laughed at. For 120 years, his reputation just continued to go down. It cost Noah. The risk that Noah took, it cost him. And so I get back to the point where I ask you this question. What risk have you had, have you done in your life, in your spiritual journey, that's cost you? What have you done that's cost you in your spiritual life? Grace Fellowship has been around since 03, okay? So 14 years. And what happened 14 years ago, there's a group of people, there's some families that in this area said, you know what? There's got to be something else. We want to see a church that is more concerned about people that don't know Jesus than about just hanging out and being comfortable. And so a group of people, a group of families begin to come together and pray and say, okay, God, what is it you want us to do? What is it you want us to do? And in the process of that, you know what they did? They had to leave their comfortable churches that they were at. And in the process of that, people were laughing at them, talking bad about them. Their reputations were on the line. But they said, God, there's something you want to do. So they took a risk. They took a risk. And then the first pastors that joined the staff at this church, they moved their families, and they came to a place of a church meeting in a high school, and there was times when they didn't know if they were going to get a paycheck. They came because they saw a risk. In any risk, the bottom line is this: is it worth it? Is the risk worth it? And here's the deal. Let me read this statement to you right here. This is something that, as I was thinking about the early years, the God-sized risk that God challenged them to take became a God-sized miracle in a cow pasture. The people that took a risk 14 years ago for God is the reason you are here today. So I ask you this question. When have you taken a risk for God? Nothing worth accomplishing ever happens apart from a risk. So where are you on that journey? There's an upside and there's a downside to every risk. The upside is when you take a risk, God does some great things, and everybody's happy. The downside is, after that great thing, we can very quickly slide into comfort zone. Here's the deal. Our mission is still huge. Grace Fellowship's mission is huge. And I don't know if you know how big it is, but if you've been here more than two Sundays, you probably have heard our mission. Our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? That means this: in order for people to grow in their relationship with Jesus, they have to have a relationship with Jesus. And so the first thing that we need to be about as a church is we need to be about telling people about Jesus. We need to be engaging them to hear about the truth of Jesus Christ. We live in Wise County. Most of you live in Wise County. In Wise County, there's approximately 60,000 people. On any given Sunday, 40,000 of those are not in any church. Think about that for a second. 40,000 people in Wise County either do not have a relationship with Jesus, or it is not important at all. Guys, that's why Grace Fellowship is here. So I ask you this question: have you taken a risk for Jesus? And I think it's not just have you taken a risk, but you really got to think about it. Is that risk worth it? Is 40,000 people worth it? Are you taking a risk? Have you taken a risk for Jesus? Listen to this statement. This statement's made. Andy Stanley, a pastor out of Atlanta area, says this: to reach people that no one else is reaching, we need to do things that no one else is doing. Let me read that again and let it sink in just for a second. To reach people that no one else is reaching, we need to do things that no one else is doing. 14 years ago, there's a group of people that said we need to do that. So what's it going to take to reach 40,000 people? Risk. It's going to take risk. It's going to take us getting out of our comfort zone, because there's 40,000 people that are more important than my comfort. We got to do things that no one else is doing to reach people that no one else is doing, reaching. So I come back to this. What risk have you taken in your spiritual journey? Is it worth 40,000 people? And so this morning, what I want us to do, we're not going to wrap up this little message in a pretty little bow for you. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let BJ do that the next 3 weeks. Okay? I'm going to open a door and I want you to think. I want you to really think, and I'm going to give you some things that you can do to think through that. But for most of us in here, we don't completely understand. We're saying, Rocky, you're talking about taking a risk and everything like that. I don't know what that is, and that is okay. It's okay not to know what that risk is, but it is not okay to be okay with not knowing what that risk is. So today, what I want to do is challenge you to begin to figure out what that risk is God wants you to take. So we're going to dig in there. This is a story in 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat was leading the Israelites. He was leading the people of Israel. And he'd been doing everything kind of good. He'd been, you know, he's kind of leading them in the right direction. Things were going great. And all of a sudden, he got some bad news. He got some bad news, and then he had to have a response to it. And read this. Let me look at this with me. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Meunites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already at Hazon Tamar." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Okay, here's what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat didn't just say, okay, we got an army coming, so what I need to do is get all my generals lined up over here and need to make sure everybody's in place and they got all their stuff. We don't need to make sure all of our chariots, the wheels are all good on the chariots and all the horses are fed. That's not what he did. An army is coming. The opposition is coming. You know what he did? He inquired of the Lord. He went to the Lord. And most of the time in our world, what we think, we immediately think, we can take care of our problems. We can take care of everything. But guys, there's an opposition. There's somebody, there's a group, there's a person called Satan that doesn't want this to happen. Do you know that? And if we're not careful, we'll just kind of blow that off. But there's an opposition. And what Jehoshaphat did is he inquired of the Lord. He went immediately and began to figure out, what do we need to do? And he challenged his people to do some things. He wanted them to seek God as well. So I want to start off with two questions. And the two questions are this. How can we know what the risk is? For you, everybody in this room, the risk is going to be different. My risk is not going to be your risk. It's going to be different. So how do we know what the risk is? The second question is this. How do we know if the risk is worth it? That's what I want you to think about today. And I'm going to give you some things that you can put together to begin to process that. But you're not going to answer this today. But that's the question. So what are you willing to do? Is the risk worth it? And what are you willing to take? What sacrifice are you willing to do? First thing is this. This is what I want you to do. First, seek God. Seek God. Jehoshaphat did that. The first thing he did was he stopped. And he began to seek God. And they prayed. And what else he did? He called them to fast. Seeking God through prayer and fasting. Now, whenever I say fasting, most of you guys are going, oh, let's take a break here. Okay? And because if you think fasting, you're always thinking food, okay, which most of us do. And we're thinking, okay, stop at midnight because you got to do blood work or surgery the next day. That's a fast. But fasting in its simplest form is really just like a scope. It's just like a scope on a rifle, okay? Fasting helps you focus in on the target. So when, and some of you guys are getting ready for this because it's deer season, but you take that rifle and it helps you focus. It helps you get all the distractions out. You're not looking at anything but right through that scope. And fasting is just like that. It helps you get rid of all the distractions. It helps you completely focus in on what God wants you to do. And right now in the world that we live in, there are so many things, so many distractions that fasting, and it's not something we do on a regular basis, but fasting allows you to focus in on what God wants for you. So seeking God, prayer, and fasting. The second thing is this. Listen to God. Listen to God. I don't know about you, but we're pretty bad at that. How many times have you been in a conversation with someone and you walk away and you're like, what did they even say? You know, it's usually your spouse and then you get in trouble later, okay? But we got so many things going on in our minds that we struggle to listen. And what we need to do is we need to listen to God. What is God telling you? What is God telling you? Look at Mark 4. It says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Let me read that again. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have, will be taken away from them. So whenever we're focusing in on what God wants to say to us, Are you listening? Or are you so busy that you struggle to hear anything? A lot of times, we're so busy chasing kids around, which you got to do, I know that, okay? Or you're so busy trying to focus in on the next promotion, or you really want to make sure that all your friends know exactly what you're eating for dinner, and so you got to take a picture, because their life is not complete without that picture of your food. And we don't slow down. We don't stop. We don't listen. So the calling is you seek God, but you need to listen. And the way that you listen is you stop. You slow down. Maybe you take something off your plate. Maybe you get up a few minutes early. But you listen to God. Third thing is this. Take the risk. Take the risk. I'm one of those kind of guys that has in my mind to have a list of all the things I need to do. And if I keep it in my mind, no one really knows it and holds me accountable, okay? But I have this list of all the things that I need to do, but I never really get started on it. We sold our house in Rome and moved to Decatur this last year, and we've been talking about it for a while, and we kind of done a little bit of things here and there and stuff. But when we met with a realtor, and she came in and she met with us and said, okay, this is what you need to do, and this is where we're going to list it, all of a sudden that deadline became real. Okay? And it couldn't just be something I was thinking about anymore. I had to get some stuff done. And so we set a schedule. Okay, this is when the carpet needs to be in. This is when we need to have the floors clean. This is when we need to paint the walls. This is when we need to do the flower bed. And it was crazy. I remember I was doing the flower bed at 9:30 the night before, the pictures the next day. Okay? It was nuts. But if we don't have that deadline, sometimes we never really get around to actually doing anything. We never get around to taking a risk because we got so many other things going on. So you seek God, you listen, and you take a risk. Listen to this in James 1:22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Guys, it's not good enough just to hear what God says to you if you don't do anything with it. So as we go through this journey, as I'm asking you to pray about that, this and think about it, when God challenges you on that risk, take it. Build the boat. Don't ask questions. Just do it. And in the back of your mind, you're saying, well, that's going to cost me. It will. Is 40,000 people worth it? I want you to join me in doing four things. We're going to wrap up this. And I want you to do four things. In your chair when you came in, there should have been a bookmark. Hopefully there was. If there's not, I apologize. We'll get you one. There's a bookmark. And I'm going to ask you to do four things with me. I want you to join the staff in doing these four things. They're not real complicated, but there's four things. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray and fast for 21 days. Pray and fast for 21 days. Praying is just talking to God. Talk to Him. Ask Him. Talk to Him about what you need. And there's actually, on this bookmark, there's some things at the top on one of those sections that says it's some specific things that you can pray for. And then you can add other things in there. But the main thing I want you to do is I want you to pray and say, God, what risk do you want me to take? What risk do you want me to take? So you pray and you talk to God. The other thing I want you to do is fast. For 21 days, I want you to pray. For 21 days, I want you to fast. And you're going, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? All right? All fasting is honing in on what God wants you to do. And it doesn't just have to be food. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Fasting is something you're taking something away from yourself, depriving yourself of something that you enjoy in a major way. Okay? I'll just tell you what mine is. It's exercise. Okay? I've been fasting for about 4 years now. It's going great. What you want to do is, I'm just kidding, by the way. Fasting is you're taking something away that would help you focus on God. Okay, maybe it's fasting from coffee. And so when you get that craving for coffee in the morning or get that caffeine headache or something, what you do is you pray. Okay? You just pray. You pray for you ask God, what do you want me to take a risk? How do you want me? What do you want me to do? All right. So you pray about that. If you're fasting from a certain type of food, when you crave that food, you do that. If you're fasting from TV, when you normally would watch TV, you pray. Whatever it is, it's between you and God. Okay? It's not something you want to. I'm not going to wear a sign that says, "Hey, I'm fasting from sugar." Okay, I'm not gonna tell anybody what I'm fasting from. I may have to work that out with my wife if it has anything to do with food, so we know we're not eating certain things. But it's between you and God. And remember, it's a scope on a rifle. It's helping you focus on what God wants you to do. It's helping you focus on that risk that's in front of you. So whatever it is, ask God what he wants you to fast from. And so I'm gonna ask you for 21 days. 21 days fast. Right? And allow you to focus and seek God during that time. So pray and fast. The second thing is this. I want you to read and listen. Read and listen. For 21 days, read and listen. On this bookmark, on the other side, there's scriptures. And they're lined with a different day of the week starting tomorrow. So my challenge to you is to read that passage tomorrow and allow God to speak to you. Get out a journal and write what that scripture is saying to you. And I believe when you talk about read and listen, a lot of us, and I'm not downing this at all. I like when people come and you hear the message, and I get something out of the message every time BJ preaches or whoever preaches. That's great. But the best way for God to speak to you is whenever you sit down with God and you open up the Bible and you read the scriptures yourself. And you say, God, what are you trying to show me in this? So my challenge to you in reading and listening is that you would spend time opening up your Bible and reading these verses and asking God, what are you trying to show me in here? What do you want me to see? BJ's actually going to have it on his blog, bjrutledge.com. These things will be listed right there with a few questions every day starting tomorrow. For 21 days, read and listen. Truly ask God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? Ask him what that risk is he wants you to take. Number three is this, be here on Sundays, okay? And you're probably thinking, well, that's an easy one. Here's the deal, okay? The next 3 weeks, our pastor is going to be starting a series called All In. And I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. I think there's something that God wants to challenge you on in those 3 weeks. So I want you here. I want you to come here. And I know deer season is here, guys. I understand that. All right, I hear you. But I believe you can watch it online, that's great. But there's something about being here that's more engaging and more challenging. Right? So I want you to be here for the next 3 Sundays. Make every effort that you can to be in attendance at Grace Fellowship. And the last thing is this, change your focus. Change your focus. We live in a world, we live in a culture that's all about us. And that's all we can focus on. It's all we can think about. And so we want to change your focus. And the best way to change your focus off of yourself is to focus on others. So when you leave today, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. In the far right corner as you're leaving, there's an area for Thanksgiving meal bags. Grab a bag. Grab one for your family. Grab one for each kid. Whatever you want to do, go fill up one bag at least and bring it back on November the 12th. It will allow you to get your focus off of you and focus on somebody else's needs. And it's amazing when we take our focus off of ourselves for just a few minutes, how God can speak to us and show us. So that's what I want you to do, all right? To change your focus. Now, that's not the only thing you can do. There's other ways to do that as well, but that's an option. So those things I want you to do over the next 21 days, okay? Is I want you to pray and fast, all right? I want you to read and listen. I want you to be here on Sundays, and I want you to change your focus. There's a boat to be built. There's a risk that needs to be taken by each one of us. And the question is this, is it worth it? Is the 40,000 people that are your neighbors and my neighbors, that are your coworkers, that live around us every day, are those 40,000 people worth you and me and Grace taking a risk? Silly question. because I know the answer. It is. 14 years ago, there was a risk taken, and I'm ready for another one. How about you? Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have chosen to let us be a part of something so much bigger than we could ever imagine. And Lord, I pray for the people that are in this room right here. I pray for the ones that are watching online. God, that we would not be content being comfortable in our Christian life, but that we would step forward and say, God, whatever it takes, I'm all in. I'm ready to start building that boat. Father, that we in this room would begin to seek you and ask you to show us what that risk is for the next 21 days. Father, help me as an individual not just to be communicating this, but be living it out. That me and my family would take a risk that cost because you want to do something great. Thank you for allowing us to be part of that. It's in your son's name.